I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are virtually meeting today, and their elders past and present. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel. There are four members of the panel today, and I'll ask them to introduce themselves in just a moment. Items will be dealt with in the order that they appear on the agenda. Each of the speakers who are registered to speak will be given 3 minutes. At the end of the 3 minutes, a bell will sound, and you are then expected to finish up in the interest of giving everybody a fair go within the time that we have available to us. Items on our agenda. As I said, they'll be dealt with in the order that they appear in the agenda that's been published. My name is Angus Talbot, and I'm a lawyer by background. I've been a solicitor, I've been a barrister, I've been a judge of the Land and Environment Court for 15 years, and I sit on this panel and several others as my main professional activities in this part of my career. I'll ask each one of the panel members to introduce themselves and to individually indicate what their professional expertise, relevant professional expertise is, and also to indicate whether they have any declarations of interest to make. And in my case, I make no declaration of any interest, as I cannot perceive of any on this agenda. First of all, I'm looking at Lindsay Day, so would you like to introduce yourself, Ms. Day, please? You have to unmute.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Lindsay Day. I'm a consultant town planner. I have about 40 years experience in the profession on state government, local government, and in the private sector. I have a mix of local government and private clients currently, and I'm a member of this and two other planning panels. I have degrees in geography and town and country planning, and I'm declaring that I have no interest in any of the 11 matters before us this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Day. Ms. Roach, Kath Roach, could you please introduce yourself? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Kath Roach. I run a company, Sync Solutions. I work across a number of local councils in New South Wales and have for a long time, I will say that, so I don't give away my age. Previously, I was the internal ombudsman at Sutherland Shire Council for 5 years, so that also gave me a significant experience in this area, along with working as an executive director of Housing New South Wales for 2 years. On this particular panel, I am here as the community representative and live within the local government area. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Any declarations of interest?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. No declarations of interest.
Thank you, Ms. Day. David Johnson, thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is David Johnson. I'm an environmental scientist by background. These days, I work primarily in the areas of development assessment, community consultation, and environmental planning. I have been an environmental consultant for most of my career, over 30 years. For the last 10 years, I've been working more in the fields of community consultation and planning. I have previously been an acting commissioner in the Land and Environment Court and for 6 years, a commissioner on the Independent Planning Commission. I also sit on two other local planning panels, and I do have one potential conflict of interest today, and that is an item number 10.
Thank
I will
you.
Stand aside for that item.
No need to disclose what it is. You'll be just stepping aside. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll now proceed with the agenda. And the first item on the agenda relates to the property at 14 Forest Street, Haberfield. And the first person who's listed to speak, or at least listed and presumably here to speak, is Jenny Askin, planner. Are you there, Ms. Askin?
Yes, I'm here, Chair.
Thank you. Your 3 minutes is starting now.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity to address you this afternoon. I'm going to speak briefly to the Clause 4.6 variation relating to landscape. We also have the owner who will speak, and he's also the architect. And we have a heritage consultant who will also speak to the heritage assessment. I just wanted to highlight the following. In terms of, there's a Clause 4.6 that relates to the shortfall in landscaping. The area above the basement is not counted as landscaping, but it provides sufficient depth to allow for a lawn area to be provided. Overall, the proposal will retain and protect the landscape setting of the garden suburb, which is obviously a significant objective that council is trying to achieve. There are sufficient environmental planning grounds, as the proposal will provide an area that's suitable for planting. I would also like to highlight that the proposal is consistent with the objective of providing a single-storey dwelling within a landscape setting, and the principal form of the existing dwelling will be presented to the street in an improved manner and as a single form. The proposal represents a suitable design and is of suitable amenity in terms of the built environment, and it represents the orderly and economic use and development of land, and therefore it's consistent with the objects of the Act. The proposal complies with the FSR control, and the shortfall in landscaping is not attributed to a shortfall in, or an exceedance of the FSR control. In fact, the proposal has falls below the FSR control by 95 square metres. The site layout has been designed taking into account the heritage value of the street, the orientation of the site, the context in terms of surrounding development, and also the subsequent amenity for the occupants of the dwelling. The intention with the landscaping is to provide mature planting at installation so that there'll be instant landscape character within the site. On this basis, we therefore request that the panel reconsider the recommendation, having regard to my comments here today and also to those that you'll hear from the heritage consultants and the architect. I'm happy to answer any questions in regards to my comments.
Thank you. Any questions, Ms. Roach?
No, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Johnson? No?
None.
I think you're muted.
No, I am. No comments, no.
Ms. Day, any questions?
No questions, thanks.
Thank you for your assistance, Ms. Askin. I'll now call upon the heritage expert, Stephen Davies.
Hello.
Mr. Davies?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I understand.
Your 3 minutes starts now.
Okay, Stephen Davies, Heritage Consultant. I believe that you have a one-page summary of the submission we made at the time of my registration. And that I think that very clearly shows why we believe that this is a very suitable application in heritage terms. The principal form of the dwelling is to be retained and its interior features, and the house is currently has a very large addition, and that's being later addition replicated in this plan with a pavilion style at the rear. In that, you can see the existing streetscape in my presentation below the revised ground level plan. And you'll see that the current house, although it has a fair bit of vegetation in front of it, if you could see it more clearly, it's in a reasonably dilapidated and has been condition and has been rendered. The image below shows that the house is to be restored with an appropriate slate roof, matching those on the other side of the street, and the fencing and landscaping has been designed to complement the proposal. And one of the issues that has been raised is the potential appearance of a two-story form from the streetscape, but if you look at that photo montage, you will really understand that the driveway is at such a low gradient from the street, and Mr. Alvaro will probably explain that in more detail. So that when you actually view this addition from this site from the street. There will be no two-storey form, and you will not see the basement car parking because of the situation and grade. The other issue it really comes to is from the, if you go back up to the existing streetscape illustration, you can see that this house is highly compromised by adjacent dwelling. It does not sit in a in the context, in this particular context, of having traditional houses on its side boundary, but extremely large, almost like residential flat building sized dwellings that overlook this site. So the scheme has been developed very significantly to provide amenity and also restore, I suppose, the appearance and fabric of this particular dwelling. The other side of the other issues relating to garaging, there have been some recent developments, one at 1 Tillock Street in Haverfield, where there is a garage with a driveway setting down behind the front fence. 24 Tillock Street, recently approved with the with a very dominant drive. And 98 Kingston Street, currently being...
Bring it together, Mr. Davies, please.
Sorry?
Bring it together, please. That was the time.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yes, so they're my main points. We believe that this is a good conservation outcome and will be very respectful to the streetscape.
Thank you. Any questions, Ms. Roach? You're muted.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Day?
None from me, thanks.
Mr. Johnson?
No, none from me.
Thank you, Mr. Davies, for your assistance. Your comments have been recorded.
Good, thank you very much.
Mr. Alvero.
Yes, I'm here.
Panel Chair. Thank you. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Thank you, Panel Chair, for the opportunity to present. My name is Dominic Alvaro. I'm the owner and applicant at 14 Forest Street, Haberfield. Respectfully request the panel to approve the as submitted amended scheme for the following reasons. The current dwelling has not been occupied for over 15 years and is in a huge state of disrepair. It's literally falling apart around us as we occupy it. It features unsightly high fencing, which is not in character. The existing dwelling contains lead paint, asbestos, and needs considerable refurbishment to ensure its quality within the respected existing and future character of Haberfield. With advice from Irvis, as you've just heard, the proposal considers a significant restoration, identical slate quality to neighbouring houses, and warm tone colours to suit the quality Federation housing character that we so love about the area. We are fully compliant with height setbacks, and we're under the FSR and GFA controls. And as you've heard, the controls allow for a much larger residence to actually be placed here. So it is a balance between outdoor open space and deep soil and GFA. The council is effectively refusing the scheme based on the driveway and the introduction of the basement on the grounds of heritage, simply implying that this is a two-storey dwelling. First and foremost, this is a single-storey dwelling and extension, and the garage must be concealed in ground so as to not detriment. It is our only northern private outdoor space, and we really don't want to have a garage occupying and shading the northern aspect. The setback of the actual entry point is 30 metres back of the footpath, and as the montage showed, it's surrounded by hedge planting and mature trees, and it's consistent with the pattern of the best houses in Haberfield, not an unsightly structure that would be located on the boundary. The intention of the 50% deep soil rule is to provide significant trees, planting and turf. The proposed perimeter planting and tree locations are within deep soil and therefore not compromised in any way. The turf doesn't rely on deep soil, and we're only providing 53 square metres. Overall, 7% is designated as turf. So we request the panel to consider the 4.6 with the pool included, as the deep soil is being provided where it is needed, continuous and well considered. As Stephen mentioned, we're overlooked by unsightly two-storey dwellings, and we do not wish to wait 10 years for the planting to grow. We would happily see the panel condition the significant planting and trees, as we will be providing that from inception. We have proposed 8 significant quality screen trees, as well as a 6-metre screen tree to the north. This is our forever home, and with the whole reason for purchasing in Haberfield was to be able...
Need to wind up, Mr. Alvaro.
I've finished, thank you.
I'll see if the panel have any questions. Mr. Johnson?
No, I have no questions.
Thank you. Ms. Day?
No questions from me, thanks.
And Ms. Roach?
No questions from me, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Mr. Alvaro.
Thank you.
Our panel will consider the submissions that have been made today, in addition to all of the other material that's been placed before it, and the ultimate decision will be published on the website of the Council as soon as practicable.
Terrific, thank you, Chair.
In the next 24 hours, hopefully.
Thank you very much.
Moving on to item number two. That relates to the proposed development at 40 Milton Street, Ashfield. And the first person who's listed to speak is Brian Oliver. Are you there, Mr. Oliver? All right, we'll pass by Mr. Oliver. He needs my leave to speak anyway as a legal representative. Brett Newbold, are you available?
Yes, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Newbold. Are you there?
Yes, I'm just trying to navigate the technology.
There you are. We've got you. We can see you. So your 3 minutes starts now, Mr. Newbold. Thank you.
Thank you, panel. I'm an urban design consultant, and I've been asked to look at three specific aspects of the application, which I understand were fundamental to the recommendation for refusal. Firstly, the issue of communal open spaces. It's true to say that the communal open spaces as proposed fall short of the ADG's metric. The question of whether they collectively fall short of the ADG's objective is an open question. However, I believe there are simple opportunities to expand the communal open space, particularly at level four, by occupying some areas that are currently allocated as private terraces and some areas that are currently allocated as flat roofs. I think the expansion of open space on that particular level can occur without causing impact for any neighbouring property. And in conjunction with a minor rejigging of the ground level open space by deleting a rear footpath which is proposed, but which carries pedestrians from nowhere to nowhere, the combined effect of that would be that the development could achieve the 25% communal open space requirement, which is set out by the ADG. In a one-page note, which I believe you have, I've indicated or suggested a deferred commencement condition, which I think could achieve that outcome.
You better tell us about it. Those submissions weren't received in time.
Oh, indeed. I beg your pardon for that. In essence, the deferred commencement condition, which I recommend, says proposed communal open spaces at level four should be expanded to include the eastern terrace, which adjoins proposed unit 406, together with flat roofed areas at southeastern and southwestern corners of the building, plus the planter, which adjoins the covered walkway. And the ground floor open space should be extended to include the proposed footpath at the eastern end of the site, full stop. Open space layouts should be adjusted to provide landscape shade and screening around dining and informal seating places so that each space may concurrently accommodate unrelated groups and individuals, full stop. Amended architectural and landscape plans should be approved by Inner West Council prior to release of a CC. So whether that approval is by IWC or by this panel, I'll leave to others to determine. So that was the extent of the recommended condition. I looked at the question of private open spaces, and I believe that based on the numbers that are presented on the plans, in terms of areas and minimum dimensions, they appear to satisfy the ADG's requirements.
Now you need to wind it up, Mr.
Certainly, Mr. Talbot. The final issue was in relation to naturally cross-ventilated apartments, and I believe there was some concern about some single-aspect apartments. Some of those single-aspect apartments rely upon fan lights above entrance doors, which face open corridor spaces. I believe they would be entirely adequate and appropriate to ventilate the majority of those apartments with such a configuration. There are also mezzanine apartments, or two-storey apartments, more correctly, which also would collectively result in 75% of apartments conforming.
I'll see if there are any questions, Mr. Newbold. Ms. Roach? You're muted.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Johnson?
No questions for me, no.
And Ms. Day?
No, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Newbold, for your assistance, and that's been carefully noted.
Thank you, panel members.
Joseph Panetta, are you here?
Yes.
Thank you. There you are. 3 minutes starting now. Thank you, Mr. Panetta.
Thank you, Mr. Talbot. I'm the registered architect for this proposal at 40 Milton Street. I just wanted to give you a quick summary. I know you already have a one-page summary, and I'm happy to answer any questions in regards to that summary.
You came in too late. You need to deal with it.
Okay. We believe that this building is a suitable transition in terms of bulk and scale from site to site. We believe that we've had some clear urban design advice from Mr. Newbold, as you just heard, but also from Smith Sarn's urban designers when we lodged the application. The site is currently another use. It's mainly industrial use in an R3 zone. And the current built form isn't desirable. It's an old and derelict site at the moment. The only thing I would like to point out with regards to the communal open space is that the current proposal is actually 316 square metres of communal open space, which equates to, the common open space existing is 200 square metres, which equates to 15%. Mr. Newbold's concept would increase that to 316 square metres, which equals 24%. So there was a typo in regards to the areas shown on the drawing in regards to the communal open space areas.
What was that percentage when after it's expanded?
24%.
Thank you.
Now, this also brings up another issue that with the widening of the pedestrian footpath, there could be potentially less site area, and therefore that would also mean that that area would increase. We're currently showing that dedication of footpath area at 1.2 metres in width, but we didn't make modifications to that to increase it to 1,500 millimetres in width. So that percentage would go up and would be over the 25% requirement. With regards to the private open space and the balconies, not complying with the ADG, we have made the minor amendments that were required to ensure that they complied on the ground floor and also on the two-storey units on the upper levels.
Thank you, Mr. Panetta. Are there any questions, Ms. Roach?
Not from me, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Johnson, do you have any questions?
No, not from me either.
Ms. Day?
Not from me, thank you.
Thank you for your assistance, Mr. Panetta. Your comments have been taken into account and will be considered when the panel adjourns. Andrew Martin, planner. Are you there?
Yes, Mr. Talbot.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Your time starts now.
Thank you, Mr. Talbot, and the panel for the opportunity to address you today. Essentially, as Mr. Panetta outlined, we did engage Mr. Peter Smith from Design Smith Architects to provide a robust rationale for the urban design outcome that we felt could be achieved on this site. That underpins the 4.6 documentation that is before you, along with some other justification in those 4.6 reports that were part of and fundamental to the original application as made, although the council planners don't agree with that. In terms of the our position, we would see it's a lost opportunity if this application is refused today. We feel we've put forward a very well thought out application. We dialogued with council initially with our PDAs and so forth. In terms of the site, it does have a contribution to the Ashfield West precinct. It's required to dedicate some footpaths. It has a juxtaposition to a seven-storey corner building and forms part of the edge treatment to the Ashfield West precinct, as I mentioned. The site provides a transition from the 23 metres to the 12 metres. Our adjoining development to the north is, I think, 40.3 RL. We're at 37.8. We do transition. We also provide a very a street edge of 32.4 and RL of 32.4. The neighbouring property to the south at the ridge level is 32.75. So a very nice, neat fit in terms of its streetscape hard edge presence that was dictated and required by the urban design specialist. We put forward together what we believe is a built form that will fit in with the future RSL development. And this scheme has been before the Architectural Design Review Panel, the Architectural Excellence Panel, AEP. They support this scheme with its departures to FSR and height. The FSR departure is realistically 0.29 or thereabouts in terms of its overall exceedance, because we're afforded with consent up to 1.2 to 1 with the affordable housing bonus of 0.5 on top of the baseline 0.7. So you're not looking at a 0.6 variation. We've put to you in the minutes that the SJD BD2 will tell you or afford you the necessary information about 4.6. The variation, your power is unfettered. You can vary this both those standards as the consent authority today. We basically put two 4.6s. We don't agree with the alternative view that's proffered by the council planners, that we don't address the objectives or achieve the objectives. We say that we do, because we provide for the community housing needs of
this community. Need to finish up.
Yes, in this environment. And so therefore we say we do satisfy. We've got no issue of any land dedication. The waste treatment is we take time. And
that's your time. I'll see if there are any questions.
Thank you.
Any questions, Ms. Day?
No, thank you.
Mr. Johnson?
No, none from me.
And Ms. Roach?
No, thank you.
Yes, thank you for your assistance, Mr. Martin, and your observations will be taken into account when the panel retires to consider what the decision should be.
Mr. Chair, this is Tina here. Just letting you know, I can see Brian Oliver online. He was the first person registered to speak on that particular item.
Yes.
I
can't see him.
He is there.
Yeah, he's there.
All right, well, Mr. Oliver?
You're on mute.
Mr. Oliver, you're on mute.
I haven't got him.
I can see his picture, but he's still muted.
And he's not in my pictures.
I'm not sure that he's actually hearing us. He's just taking his picture away, Mr. Yeah. Chair, just because you can't see him at the moment, but he's certainly still...
He's definitely there.
Online.
Well, I'm afraid I need to move on. We'll
bottom left hand corner. You can unmute yourself.
There's no picture of him on my screen.
Sorry, we're just trying to contact him to let him know that.
Yeah, I understand that, but he should have
been. Sound your end.
Just put yourself on mute, Andrew.
Contact, Mr. Chair.
All right, we're moving on.
We're here.
He hasn't got leave to speak yet.
Yeah, we're here. Now, Brian, you're on. Where's the speaker?
There's no one here.
He's still muted.
We're moving on.
Mr. Chair, I know he has to seek leave from you. They've put him on speaker through the planning group, so you should be able to hear him through that.
Well, that's all very well, but I have his written submission. that he put in out of time yesterday, so we may just have to rely on that.
Does he need to speak?
We've got his submission. We're moving on. Moving on to number 3, 14 Paul Street, Balmain East. The first person to speak is Peter McGuinness. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Mr. McGuinness. Your time starts now.
Thank you. We own the neighbouring unit at 1/16 Paul Street, which is a strata title property, and we're generally supportive of the development. We've made a number of submissions on the severe loss of iconic Harbour Bridge views. Overshadowing.
We've read them. Read them all.
Great. Okay. I guess I'd just like to touch on a number of things. I guess our view from the front sitting room which is used as a home office, is really the only internal view of the whole and iconic Sydney Harbour Bridge. And we absolutely agree with Council's findings of a severe impact to this iconic view. That the proposed front balcony roof and supports of the proposed development impact this view, irrelevant of what is placed on the proposed balcony post-development. We support the Council's recommendation for a 2.8-metre front setback to mitigate the view loss, which is only just 1 metre back from what's currently proposed. We note the Council and our town planner consider this to be a minor impact to the design of the dwelling as well. 14A and 1/16 Paul Street already share Harbour Bridge views from their respective front ground floors. The issue is the second proposed view corridor at 14A Paul Street, which obstructs the only view from 1/16 Paul Street. I think it's also fair to note that the development will also block other views from 1/16 Paul Street. North Sydney views are gone, identified as a severe impact by council. And the Sydney CBD skyline is gone as well. So we feel really maintaining at least one view corridor and the iconic view corridor is a fair compromise for the other view loss from the development. I think just also in relation to view loss, there's the planting of a dense yellow bloodwood tree with a height of around 10 to 12 metres and a canopy.
We're taking some action about that.
About 7, yeah. So I guess my, it seems to conflict with the council's recommended front setback condition, which is anticipated to mitigate the view loss. And I think it's also a bit inappropriate due to the small front setback of the planting area, the closeness to the buildings at 14A and 16 Paul Street, and also close to the boundary retaining wall. And maybe suggest smaller planting or planting this large tree at the rear away from dwellings.
Yes, you can move on from that if that's what you're suggesting.
Solar loss in bulk is my last thing I'd just like to touch on. I guess the first development proposal had a western wall height of about 2.7 metres in relation to 16 Paul Street, which was acceptable. It's now proposed to be about 3.2 metres. And the first proposal had a rear skillion roof shape, which doesn't impact the front streetscape. It's at the rear, which is now proposed to be a higher ridge and rear gable roof. I guess together the higher wall and the higher roof style is about 4.2 metres at the rear. Compared to the previously proposed 2.7 metres in relation to 16 Paul Street. I guess our concern there is the solar impact to the main living room windows near the boundary, the rear private open space, given that's really the only solar access, and the excess bulk on the boundary. Really what I wanted to highlight there is that there are no elevational shadow modelling diagrams provided, and I've made 2 requests for those in the previous submissions.
You need to bring it together, Mr. McGuinness, bearing in mind we've seen all of your submissions and also the latest changes proposed by the applicant.
The last thing I'll say then is we absolutely support the council's recommended condition of a rear hip in place of the gable, but the previously proposed lower wall height and lower skillion rear roof would certainly alleviate the significant solar impacts to the living room and the rear private open space. And I suggest those are acceptable to the owner given they were previously proposed by the owner.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. McGuinness. And I'll see if there's any questions from Ms. Roach.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Johnson?
No questions from me.
Ms. Day?
Just to let Mr. McGuinness know that there are shadow diagrams in the plans that we have before us, plans 16, 17 and 18.
I agree, but we haven't seen elevational shadow diagrams. We've only seen top down.
Right. I understand in the report that the shadowing situation meets council's requirements in terms of, I think that is in the report.
Yeah, I note that in the report as well, but I wonder what the impact to the living room windows are. Is it only a sliver of light that maintains, or is there sufficient solar access remaining? And we can't ascertain that without the elevational shadow modelling.
Right. I guess the panel will probably be relying on the statements in the report that indicate compliance with Council's DCP requirements. Yeah. Is that correct, Mr. Mertes?
Well, is it correct that we do?
Yeah. No. Is it the proposal is compliant with the development control plan requirements?
That's what the report says.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. Thank you.
I agree. That's what the report says. But yes, there's right. After Thank two you. Requests, there's no elevation. So.
Okay, Mr. McGuinness. All right. Well, you've been doing pretty good on the view loss. So we'll see how you go. Your comments will be certainly taken into account when the panel considers its decision.
Thank you. Thank
you, Mr. McGuinness. Paul Connor, architect. Are you there?
Hello.
Is that Paul Connor saying hello?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Your 3 minutes starts now, Mr. Connor.
Okay, look, I would like to defer to the applicant and the applicant's town plan for the major issues of view loss. I would like this briefly to speak to the design changes. The design changes, we've worked with council throughout the process, the design process. These design changes are new and we weren't consulted at all during it. So we'd like the opportunity now to address them, and thank you very much for the opportunity to do so. Firstly, the material selection is a very odd selection. I've worked in the area for 30 years. I've built over 40 buildings within walking distance of this, and I've never seen this combination of colours or brick selection. I would like to the panel to consider...
Don't spend too much time on that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We'd like the panel to consider the visual separation we provided between the building and the heritage item as a recessed glazed element, rather than trying to replicate the heritage item. If we were to do so, there would be a very limited demarcation between the old and the proposed. I think it would be a poor result in relationship to the heritage item. And I would like the panel to, I would recommend our proposal to the panel, where it's mainly glazed and finely grafted to the heritage item set back. So if the panel has considered the materiality and the visual setback, then I'd like to defer mainly to the applicant and the applicant's planner to address the significant issues.
We have considered it and we understand it.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Connor. Now, I prefer Mr. Manning to go next, and I'll hear from the applicant last, if that's satisfactory. Mr. Manning?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I understand, both yourself and the panel members have received a memo with supporting attachments to that. We respectfully request that the panel consider and support amendments to condition 2 and largely addresses design changes around front setback, the rock shelf, and a number of materiality design changes.
And significantly improves the view from 16.
We acknowledge that the proposed structure did obstruct some views, particularly the roof and the support structures. However, the amended plan that we have put forward in front of you seeks to remove those structures and still provide a balcony at first floor level without the need to set back increase the front setback of that dwelling, while allowing for view sharing to occur between number 16 and number 14A. The proposed design amendment as per council is requiring would remove any opportunities for that view sharing to occur and would remove those opportunities for views to be obtained from number 14.
I think we fully understand yes. that point and the difference. So if there's anything else you'd like to help us with, then do so.
No, I think you've grasped it and that it's detailed in our submission and our memo.
I'll see if there's any questions to come in relation to this issue having regard to the amount of controversy that's been going on. Ms. Roach? Any question?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, no, fine from me, thank you.
All right. Mr. Johnson?
No questions from me.
And Ms. Day?
None, thank you.
All right. Well, Mr. Manning, thank you for your assistance and the panel will consider your observations.
Thank you, panel.
Mr. Toe?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the time taken listening to the experts. I'll just make a couple of brief points. Won't hold you up. On condition 2C, the view sharing matter, one point that hasn't been made is that all views from number 16 occur across number 14A. So it's entirely dependent on views across the property. And that number 16.
I think you'll appreciate we do understand what tenacity yeah. says.
Sure. We have provided a solution that enables the view sharing to occur. The council's condition means that number 16 would retain 100% of the views of the Harbour Bridge and number 14A would receive zero views. So I think our submission is the view sharing should occur and we have provided an alternative design that is beneficial to the streetscape and doesn't create undersized rooms by setting back a metre. The only other point that hasn't been raised is condition 2F, which is a condition relating to the rock shelf. The condition states that the rock shelf shouldn't be excavated further than immediately adjacent to the sidewall of the new building at 14A. You'd appreciate these rock shelves do carry a lot of water, both through them and above them. And we do need to put a drainage line adjacent to that rock shelf and between the rock shelf and the new building. So we'd like that condition to be amended, at least be considered for amendment as per the amended conditions provided in the SJB memo so that we can put drainage in adjacent to the side building. We think that's just an oversight from council. It should have no other bearing on any aspect of the development. That's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Have you actually put in a suggested condition for that?
Yes. If you look at the SJB memo, the attachment 2 has our suggested changes to those four conditions we've spoken to.
Yes, that's all right. Yes, I just hadn't remembered whether there was a drafted condition.
Yeah, there is. Attachment 2 of our submission. Thank you.
Yes, right. I think actually the council agreed with it, didn't they? Anyway, we'll move to questions. Mr. Johnson, any questions for Mr. Toe?
No, I have no questions.
Thank you. Ms. Day?
Is it not possible for the drainage to be put in and for condition F to be left as it is, Mr. Toe?
We need to put drainage between the rock shelf and the new building.
Yeah.
So the condition states that the rock shelf should not be excavated beyond immediately adjacent to the wall. So I take mm-hmm. that to mean there's no gap between the new building and the rock shelf.
Okay, thank you.
See what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. So it needs a setback for drainage. Thank you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thanks. No, nothing further from me, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The panel will take all of the observations that have been put to it and the amended design in particular and will publish its determination on the website as soon as practicable. Thank you. Moving on to item number 4, which I'll just find. It relates to the property at 119 New Canterbury Road. There are no persons listed to speak, and the panel is perfectly able to make a determination following on the material that is before it, and that determination will be published on the website. Moving on now to item number 5, and that's in the second volume of the agenda documents. and that relates to the property at number 8 Richards Avenue, Marrickville. And the only person listed to speak in relation to property number 5 is Bruce Threlfo, planner. Are you there, Mr. Threlfo?
Members, I have nothing to add to my written submission, which you should have received.
Can't hear you, Mr. Threlfo. Are you not speaking into the microphone? I know there's a voice, but no, just nothing's coming through.
Speaking into a microphone?
No. It's not transmitting loudly. Its volume's a problem.
Okay, well, I have nothing to add to my written submission.
He's saying right. He has nothing to add to his written submission, Mr. Chair. Right,
thank you, Mr. Threlfo. And that submission will be taken into account and the panel will publish its determination on the website in due course. And thank you for your assistance. I am assuming that having read Mr. Threlfo's submission, there are no questions from any one of the panel members?
No questions, Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you for your assistance, no questions. Mr. Threlfo. Moving on now to item number 6. That's an application in relation to 185 Parramatta Road, Haberfield, the removal of trees. There's no one listed to speak. The panel is satisfied to adopt the recommendation made in the report, and the minutes will reflect that decision in a formal way using the usual material. Moving on then to number 7, that relates to the property which is 21 McKell Street, Birchgrove. Again, there are no persons listed to speak, and the panel will make its determination based upon the material that's before it, and publish the determination on the website. Moving on now to matter number 8. Number 8 relates to the property 122 Crystal Street, Petersham, four-storey mixed-use building. And the only person listed to speak in relation to that property is Jeff Mead, planner. Are you there, Mr. Mead?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you. You can have your 3 minutes from now, Mr. Mead.
Thank you. I won't take my 3 minutes. Really here to answer any questions on behalf of the applicant. We obviously accept the recommendation of the report and accept all the recommended conditions of consent, including the deferred commencement condition. We don't see it's necessary that it is a deferred commencement condition, but all the same, don't need to trouble the panel with dealing with that question.
Right.
We can deal with it.
And all right. Any questions? You don't want to rock the boat, in other words.
Sorry?
You don't want to rock the boat.
That's right, Mr. Chair. Spot on.
All right. So are there any questions, Ms. Roach?
No, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Johnson?
No questions from me, no.
And Ms. Day?
None from me, thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, as I said with the others, the matter will be considered after we adjourn to make our final determination. The next matter is number 9. There's been a late entry there. I don't understand just what has happened there, but the development relates to 279 Annandale Street, Annandale. I'm prepared to accept that there may have been a misdirection of the notice, and accordingly I'm allowing the planner, Matthew O'Donnell, to speak. Are you there, Mr. O'Donnell?
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, and you've got 3 minutes starting now.
Thank you very much. Look, we largely accept Council's recommendation. The only, I guess, area of concern that we have is around condition 14, which is to do with the stormwater. Yes.
Stormwater.
That's correct.
Reading that as leaving your client the option to design it in such way as meets that requirement. Which doesn't necessarily mean having to reroute everything under the house and so on.
Yes.
Do you read it that way as well?
Yes, probably two things. Firstly, I guess the way council's engineer is treating this is it's largely as a new build, but the dwelling's been there for a number of years, the secondary dwelling as well as the existing dwelling. There's an existing system.
Can I just interrupt you there? It's because of the subdivision.
That's correct.
The fact that there's a subdivision means that this requirement arises.
Yes.
A new site.
Look, if a condition needs to be imposed, our stormwater engineer, who can't be able to speak today, unfortunately, he could probably speak more detailed to it, but they have suggested there is probably a less onerous alternative that would still meet the same objectives. They've also questioned whether or not on-site stormwater detention is even possible. So they've looked at an alternative, and I've spoken with the applicant, and they would be satisfied with essentially a deferred commencement condition in relation to the stormwater issue to be resolved between council's engineer and our stormwater engineer. Essentially, look, without wanting to waste if that was something the panel would consider, without wanting to waste your time in the future going back over a deferred commencement condition, if that condition can be worded that it can be resolved under delegated authority between council stormwater engineer and their planning team.
Just looking at the condition, that's how it works, isn't it?
Yes, but I think the design and where they're kind of steering the applicant to with their stormwater solution can be better treated through an alternative design, which I understand is, and it won't necessarily meet all the requirements of that condition as well. So
I'm looking at condition 14. Is that the condition you're concerned about?
Correct. Yeah, yes. Yes.
Which part of it do you find difficult to deal with?
Well, the our stormwater engineer, who I again apologise for not being available, has come back with an email this morning to me and essentially said it's a tricky because council's kind of there's two points that need consideration. Sorry, just lost his email again, bear with me, sir.
But if you read B, it almost leaves you every option in the book, doesn't it?
Bear with me.
If you read 14B, provide you with a multitude of options according to the advice that's received.
There we go. I'm just bringing the condition back up again on my screen.
What it says is that the runoff must be collected in a system of gutters, pits and pipelines and be discharged together with overflow from any rainwater tanks by gravity to the curb of Piper Lane via OSD, OSR tanks as necessary. Well, that's a matter for negotiation, isn't it?
Well, I guess it is, yes. Our stormwater engineer, looking back on the email this morning, largely has concerns whether OSD would be possible. So there's a potential issue there.
Well, as necessary. I mean, if it's not, then the design you submit for approval would be accordingly, would it not? I mean, I'm looking at it. We're reading this condition as giving you almost an unlimited option to provide what you think would work for approval.
Sure. Okay. If that's the case, then...
Well, that's,
look, I'm sure we can come up with an
like, if you don't like read it like that, then I'm happy to contest. But I'll just check that the panel thinks that's the case, Ms. Roach.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yes, I take it to be that they come up with the best solution and it comes back to council, meeting the requirements for appropriate runoff, etc.
Thank you. Ms. Day, that's your view too, is it?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. We
Mr.
discussed
Johnson.
It.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off, Ms. Day.
Right.
Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, I agree. Same from me.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Thank you, Chair. Just one point of clarity, because I know my client would want to know, would that design, whatever alternative it be, have to come back to the panel, or is that something you're satisfied?
It goes to the council.
Okay. Just wanted to clear that up. Okay, thank you.
The certifying authority.
Yep.
All right?
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. O'Donnell. Is Ms. Freeman, do you want to speak?
No, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I think you've covered everything there.
All right, thank you. And we'll now move on then to item number 10.
Mr. Chairman, I'll leave for this one and I'll rejoin you in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Potential conflict?
Yes, thank you. Well, there's nothing going to happen, Mr. Johnson, because there's no one appearing. No, you're muted at the moment.
Yes, okay, so I don't actually have to leave the room.
The matter will go straight to consideration after we adjourn.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Item number 11 relates to the proposed development at 54 Birchgrove Road, Balmain, and the person listed to speak in relation to that development is James Phillips Heritage Consultant. Mr. Phillips, are you there?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, let's hear from you for 3 minutes.
You won't hear from me for 3 minutes. I'm here to answer any questions. Naturally, my clients are happy with the recommendations of the report.
Yes, all right. And there's a bit of confusion about what's a ground floor balcony and what's a first floor balcony, but that doesn't concern your aspect anyway, does it? Because that's all at the rear. Your main concern is in relation to the main frontage, I would imagine.
Yes.
Are there any questions for Mr. Phillips? Mr. Johnson?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything that was, understood everything related to heritage, so I don't have any.
No. What about you, Ms. Roach?
No, Mr. Chair, all good by me.
All right, Ms. Day?
None for me, thanks.
All right, well, there you are, Mr. Phillips. No questions. You're free to go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The panel's public session, therefore the public meeting, is concluded. We've dealt with all of the people who have appeared and we thank them for their assistance. And the determination will be made by the panel after it retires in respect of each one of the 11 matters. Thank you. Panel, just stay for a moment because I'm not